Greetings, dear friends, in that name that is so precious to God the Father, even our Lord Jesus Christ. To have a wrong view about Him is to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. If it's convenient, open your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 2. We've been reviewing so much, we've been going very slowly through this book, but we're going to break right in today at verse 20. And read from there. Colossians 2 and 20, where we read, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, as to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." And then reading from verse 1 of chapter 3, "If, or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this precious truth as we find it here today in the Word of God. May it be applied by the Holy Spirit to every listener, and may those of us who know Christ be drawn into a greater appreciation and a closer walk with Him. And for listeners today, Father, strangers to the Lord Jesus, rebels against your Word and your will, break them down by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and today, may there be listeners who will in repentant faith receive your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we give you our thanks. Amen. I'm going to read that same passage again, this time from the New American Standard rendering. Listen carefully. "If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." May the Lord bless this portion of His Word as we continue to see what those of us who are born again have in Christ. I can say today with all honesty, the greatest thing on earth is to be in Christ, to know on the authority of the Bible, God's book, that your every sin is forgiven, that you possess eternal life, for he who has the Son has life. And these things are written so that you can know that you're going to be with Him for all eternity. Friend, if we can be of any help to you in these areas, do call us, and we'll be glad to point the Scriptures out that will tell you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. But back to verse 20. "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" Now, the rudiments of the world are used in this verse to refer to rituals and ordinances. For example, the rituals of the Old Testament were rudiments of the world in the sense that they taught the elementary principles of religion, that is. For example, the ABCs. And I refer you to Galatians 4, verses 9 to 11. And here we read, "But now after ye have known God, or rather are known by God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, unto which ye desire again to be in bondage?" Paul is questioning the Galatians here. They were turning away from the living Christ. They were going back to the rudiments, the elements, the things of Judaism. He says in verse 10, "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Perhaps Paul is also thinking of the rituals and ordinances connected with Gnosticism when he wrote to the Colossians, and perhaps even other religions of his day and ours. In particular, the apostle is dealing with asceticism, springing from a Judaism which had already lost its standing with God, or from Gnosticism or any other cult which never had any standing with God. Since the Colossians had died with Christ, Paul asked them why there was still a desire to subject themselves to such ordinances. To do so would be to forget that they had severed their ties with this old world. We in the 20th century need to keep these very truths in mind. Perhaps the question will be in your mind today. If a Christian is dead to ordinances, why does he still have to be baptized and keep the Lord's Supper? Why are these things a part of Christianity? And the most obvious answer to this is that these two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, were ordinances practiced by the early New Testament church. They're taught to the Christian church in the New Testament. Incidentally, they are the only two ordinances that we find in the New Testament introduced by the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, practiced by the early church in the book of Acts, and taught by the early writers in the epistles, that is, baptism and the Lord's Supper. However, these two ordinances are not means of grace. That is, they are not something that we do that help us get to heaven, make us fit for heaven, or help us to retain or gain merit before God. Rather, they are simple acts of obedience to the Lord that indicate, respectively, our identification with Christ and our remembrance of Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, and incidentally His second coming, for we are taught that we do that until He comes. There are not so much laws to be kept, but privileges to be enjoyed. The Bible recognizes the value of these two ordinances for believers. Neither of them will make a believer out of an unbeliever. If you go into the waters of baptism, a dry sinner, you come out a wet sinner. But if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, going into the waters of baptism identifies you before the eyes of all witnesses as one who has already received Jesus Christ as Lord and Master and Savior. It's an act of obedience. It's just like the wedding ring that I have on my finger. It doesn't make me married or keep me married. It's only an indication to those who notice this wedding band on my left hand that I am a married man. And that's what baptism does. It symbolizes to the witnessing world that we have been born again. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this act of obedience, immersing ourselves or being immersed into the waters of baptism, identifies us with Him in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And so it is with the Lord's Supper. This too identifies us with Him as we obey Him by looking back to Calvary and the crucifixion and the agony of Gethsemane and Golgotha, and then looking into the empty tomb and into the open heavens wherein He has been accepted by God the Father, awaiting that time of return. Now, if you're interested in some of the things we've said about baptism in particular, I have a very interesting little book on baptism by the late T.B. Gilbert. And for all who will either call or write this week, I'll be happy to send you one of these books. A very intensive study into the truth about baptism for believers. If you want a copy, just contact us. But we must press on. Verse 21. We won't get very far unless we do press on, will we? Touch not, taste not, handle not. This verse is better understood if we supply the word "such as" at the beginning. In other words, Paul is saying in verse 20, "Why then, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances, such as touch not, taste not, handle not?" Strangely enough, underline that, strangely enough, some people can get the strangest things out of a passage of Scripture. when they don't rely upon God the Holy Spirit to be their teacher. Strange enough, some have taught that Paul was here commanding the Colossians to touch not, taste not, handle not. It's obvious to the careful reader, to the prayerful student, that the very opposite of this meaning is taught. In fact, it could be mentioned here that many authorities believe that the order of the clauses in this verse should be handle not, neither taste, nor even touch. Well, let's go on now to verse 22. Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. This meaning is still further explained in this particular verse. These are prohibitions. These are things which man has, these are man-made prohibitions. And it's indicated by the expression, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Please note that. Prohibitions by man, after their own commandments and doctrines, not after the commandments of God. Is this the essence of true religion, to be occupied with meats and drinks, rather than with a living Christ himself? You hear a lot today about the coming Antichrist. But let me tell you, there are many Antichrists in the world today. An Antichrist is a substitute Christ, something that you or someone else worships in place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any time Satan, the enemy of our God and his church, can get you occupied with anything other than the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has at least accomplished a partial victory. And here it was. These people were being all taken up with things rather than the Lord Jesus. Weymouth translates verses 20 and 22 as follows. If you have died with Christ and have escaped from the world's rudimentary notions, why, as though your life still belonged to the world, do you submit to such precepts as do not handle this, do not taste that, do not touch the other thing, referring to things which are all intended to be used up and to perish in obedience to mere human injunctions and teachings? Friends, be like the Berean believers. Search the Scriptures and find the truth there. But we must hurry on. Our time is almost gone. We will not get into chapter 3 as we had hoped. We see there quite a contrast where we are exhorted to be risen with Christ and seek the things which are above and set our affection on things above. But in closing, note with me verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These practices of man's religion all create a seeming appearance of wisdom in will worship and humility and severity to the body. Will worship simply means that these people adopt a form of worship according to their own ideas of what is right, rather than according to the Word of God. We remember in the book of Judges, the keynote of that whole book was every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we hear a lot today about going to the church of your choice. Well, let me tell you something. The church of your choice better conform to the description of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ as found in the Word of God. If you want the church of your choice, seek first the church of God's choice. If you want to worship God in your own way, you better find what God's way is and make sure that His way is your way. These folks seem to be religious, but it's not true Christianity. Humility has already been explained. They pretend to be too humble to approach God directly, and so they use angelic mediators, referring again to the Gnostics that Paul was writing about when he addressed the Colossian believers. Neglecting of the body seems to refer to this practice of asceticism, that is, the belief that through self-denial or self-torture, man can achieve our higher state of holiness. Rest assured, friend of mine, the only holiness that you and I can ever have is when the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ is by grace through faith imparted to us when we are born again. When that once happens, we become new creatures in Christ, and we can therefore set our affection on things above. May it be your portion today. In the Savior's name we ask it. Amen.